Carlos Espinosa is a graduate from the MFA program here at the University of Texas, El Paso, which means that he was my student, in fact, in multiple classes, and I've grown to respect him as a writer and as a very, very persistent artist. He is a part-timer teaching composition at El Paso Community College and editor of a new literary journal, which he founded, called Vario Panther. But before I get to that, I want to say a little bit about Carlos. He was a student in the MFA program here at the University of Texas, and he was, I think, in like maybe two or three of my classes. And I have to say, he was one of my favorite students. And I'm not just saying that because he's in the studio, and I'm not just saying that because he's taking me out to lunch afterwards. I'm saying that because he has an incredible passion for writing. And even today, he's pounding away. And what are you working on, a novel?
Yes, a novel. And thank you guys for having us. Yeah, a novel and a collection of poetry. And of course, the Vario Panther Literary Magazine.
Yeah. How come you don't just quit writing and live an easy life and do something else? What compels you to keep writing?
I mean, I wish I could. I think, yeah, it'd be a lot easier. It's something that I need to do from the moment I wake up. I have these things in my head that I need to get out. And if I don't, I kind of I feel like there's something missing.
That's the kind of student we want in an MFA program, the kind of student that just, I wish I didn't have to write, but darn it, I have to. I think of Bernard Malamud, who used to advise students. He says, if you can live without writing, do it.
Yes, please.
So tell us about this project, Vario Panther. What is it, and what compels you to put so much energy into this beautiful-looking journal?
Well, I had been working for several literary journals, and to me, there's a competition between phones and tablets, and I wanted to create a journal that functions so that it can compete with these tablets and phones and attract readers that normally wouldn't pick up a book. And I wanted it to be easy to hold and easy to carry. You take it out, you're on your lunch break at work, you can read 15 minutes, read a couple of stories, and put it away. Look at some of the photography, put it away, and then, you have a few minutes, you're waiting for the bus to get to work or something, and you pull it out and you read some poems.
Okay, for the listener, let me emphasize what he's talking about. I'm holding a copy of Vario Panther in my hand, and it is quite frankly the size of a smartphone.
Yes.
And
yes.
You did that on purpose.
Yes. 4.5 by 5 inches. So, yes, fits in your pocket, back pocket, no problem.
How did you get all this material? Because I notice you have some things in there yourself, but you also have photography and you have poems. Where did you get all this?
Yeah, the great thing is that when we came together with Vario Panther, I got together with David Grave Herrera, who is the art editor in it, and Alex Alvarez, who is the publisher of it. And with these other two guys, we were able to bring together all kinds of wonderful artists. It has models in there. It has graffiti artists. It has graphic design in there. And luckily, being part of this arts community in El Paso, it's allows me access to all of these wonderful artists.
How can people get in contact with you and get a copy of this?
Yes, they can go to variopanther.com. We have it for sale there. If you're looking to submit some work, you can go to variopanther@gmail.com and submit your writing or your photography, your artwork.
And why Vario Panther? How did you come up with that name?
Yeah, so in the neighborhood that I live in, which is in central El Paso, it's close to Austin High School. And I kept noticing on all these cars, it kept saying Panther, Panthers. Mm-hmm. We're in this barrio, and Vario Panther. And the name kind of stuck.
And I like the subtitle as you open the book. It says Vario Panther and says Literatura Magazine.
Right, yeah. I mean, there's no, it's very rascuache. That's part of the magazine. That's part of the way it's designed. Is we're going to use language and we're going to use our art and sort of carve out a space for ourselves.
So how often are you going to come out with issues of this?
We do two a year.
Two
print issues a year.
Is
yes.
This your very first, the one I'm holding
yes.
right now?
Yes, the very first. And right now we're currently working on the layouts for the second issue, which will be out early in the fall.
Great. Do you organize events in the community too, or is it just the journal?
Yeah, no, we also, we work together with the Barbed Wire Open Mic series, and we mm-hmm. put together readings. And of course, when the journal comes out, we have, release parties. And we try to bring in writers who have contributed to it, you know, if we can sort of coordinate something with them, we'll try to bring them into El Paso.
And right. And I told you that I wanted to submit, and I'm definitely going to do that, and I would encourage others to submit. But let me ask you something. What is it that you're looking for? What criteria to get into this journal?
I mean, of course, the design of it is created to attract people, but we want them to stay for the writing. Mm-hmm. So we're looking for writers who are sharp, who have guts, who want to create stories that are emotional, that draw the readers in. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing. You know, and coming out with this first issue, we had some problems because our editor would change up some stories, and sometimes writers don't like that.
Oh, not at all. Yeah.
So, you know, and
did you talk to your editor about that?
And it was never, you know, it was never a matter of changing the story or adding words to it, but sometimes it was just a matter of deleting some of the language that wasn't necessary. So that part was kind of a kind of one of those struggles.
That hurts.
Yeah, exactly. It's like
what happened to my it was not necessary.
Yeah,
but yeah, no, I could see how that could cause some issues. But yeah, at first issue, it looks really, really nice. So our listeners know, if they want to submit to it, do they need to be Latino?
No, it's open to English, Spanish, all kinds of languages, all kinds of people. So yeah, it's not strictly a Latino or a Chicano magazine. It's pretty much open, you know.
How are you getting the word out for submissions to let people know that this magazine is out here?
Yeah, of course, through social media, I think is one of the best. And we give it to people, and because of its size, they take it with them. So you kind of see it pop out on social media. You know, it's a picture of Barrio Panther in San Francisco. Here's a picture of Barrio Panther in Paris. Or here's a picture of Barrio Panther, in Austin, Texas. And it's almost become like a little thing to take a picture with it.
Are you going to begin to take submissions from people outside of our area, like just at a national level?
Yes. Actually, for the second issue, we have a lot of submissions from people outside of El Paso, not just people from El Paso.
And what's your hope with this journal?
I mean, to keep pushing it, to brand it into sort of almost like a lifestyle that goes with it, you know, sell T-shirts with it and keep pushing it. And, of course, make it so that people kind of come back to reading, as a professor, when I'm teaching, I'm amazed when I ask how many students read. And maybe in a class of 30, I'll get one or two. Kind of heartbreaking as a writer, so.
As a writer, I'm talking to Carlos Espinosa, one of the editors and founders of Barrio Panther, also a fine writer. I know your fiction, I don't know your poetry very well, but how does working on this magazine feed you as a writer?
Well, I mean, I think I get to read these wonderful works that inspire me. Sometimes also, you know, in the opposite way, where I read something and I get mad that my writing isn't as good as that, you know. And then just, you know, getting to work with different writers and getting to know, getting to talk to them a little bit and seeing what motivates them, of course,
right,
kind of gets funneled into my writing.
Well, that's funny, that idea that you can read a writer and get mad, like, dang, why isn't this good? I know sometimes I'll have this unconscious way to classify everything I read in two categories. And one category is, oh, yeah, this is pretty good, because I try not to read crappy stuff. I mean, I'll give, you know, a crappy book maybe two or three pages and then I'll quit. But if I read it, I say, yeah, this is pretty good. And then the other category is, damn, I wish I would have written this.
Yes, exactly, right? Like, why isn't my name on this story?
And so how's your novel going? How far away are you from?
It's like in the fourth rewrite, I go back and change something, and then I got to go change the whole thing. But I don't know. My wife told me, give it five tries, give it five re-edits and five rewrites, and after that, decide. But my manuscript for poetry, luckily, I've been submitting that and entered into some competitions. And, you know, I've never thought of myself as a poet. I've always kind of thought poetry was kind of pretentious in some way, and it wasn't until I came to the MFA program and actually read poetry that I realized that
that it indeed was pretentious.
It was pretentious.
No, I'm
exactly
kidding.
But also the things that you can do with language that maybe certain short stories, a form of short stories, don't let you necessarily do. And so, you know, I fell in love with writing poetry as much as I have with fiction.
What is the name of your novel?
Smothered.
And it's about chile con queso on top of a pizza milanesa.
It's about a mom who thinks she's chile con queso and wants to smother you, yeah. My collection of poetry is How to Lie to a Customs Agent.
Oh, I like that title.
Yeah, which is so pretty easy.
Yeah. Pretty easy to lie to. give us some tips on how to lie to a
guest. Cross the border listening to Tom Petty and wear an American flag around your head and jean jacket with an eagle on it. They'll let you through.
I remember I knew this guy who was trying to go into California from El Paso, and he didn't have the legal right to be in the United States, but he had green eyes and long, light-colored hair. So he looked white. And what he did, when you take a bus from El Paso to Los Angeles, there is a border stop or a custom stop. And he spoke no English. So what he did was he brought a copy of the New Yorker magazine.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And when the agents came on, he was just pretending like he was really absorbed and they just passed by him.
Oh, nice. That's one way. That's a good way to do it. Yeah, definitely. The publisher of Barrio Panther tells a story where his parents gave him cough syrup so that when they crossed him over, he didn't have to say American because, you know, they'd suspect him of his accent. Uh-huh. He didn't speak English at the time. And, he crossed over and he was passed out and they said, no, he's asleep. So that's how he came over. So, that's part of that collection of poetry is how you lie to a customs agent. But, of course, it's about also this wonderful city. And
I think it's a great title.
Yeah, thank you.
How do you lie to a custom agent? Yeah, well, I look forward to reading some of your poems. Are they going to appear in any further issues of Barrio Panther?
Yeah, there's hopefully I'll get one or two in there. And then, of course, some of them have been published in other places, and which I'm grateful for those places for publishing them and, working on getting it, the whole book put out.
Okay, well, I'd like to thank Carlos Espinosa for joining us here in the studio. Carlos, we have this segment called Poem of the Week. Do you have any poem that you might want to share with us?
Oh, yes, of course.
Maybe something you wrote, something that appeared in a journal?
Yeah. Let me read a segment from
And is this from How to Lie to a Customs Agent?
Yes, this poem will come out in How to Lie to a Customs Agent.
Okay, excellent.
This is a poem called Missing Juarez that I wrote for my wife, Jacqueline Espinosa. Missing Juarez. I remember colorful marionettes hanging from the window shops and knockoff Gucci watches gleaming against the glass. Renderings of Frida Kahlo next to Piloncillo at 2 for 50 cents. Outside, the mariachis sang for tips, and an artist could write your entire name on a grain of rice. I remember carne asada at your dad's, where soft whispers of dust swirled and danced before our eyes. We had cold beers and laughter, and always laughter. I remember lights streaking across the black sky as we stumbled between Fred's and the Tequila Derby, and later at the Kentucky Club. Did you know Jim Morrison partied there? Those were the days when Frank Sinatra and Liz would mingle with the Mexicans. It's a setting of a famous novel, you know. There was no setas then, and at Don Epi's, the children laughed as payasos bent and twisted balloons into dogs and crowns. The breeze would chase us through the plates of sizzling cebollas. In the lines, back to the States, your windows could get cleaned for a quarter. We bought mini guitars and Jesus painted on velvet. Nueces and mangoes con sal, limón y chile, a cuánto la bolsa, a cuánto la bolsa. And we inch our way on the line, while dogs and border patrol agents sniff the back of our cars. I think they were in love. The purpose for the visit? To remember. We were there to live, to be with family, and to love. Thank you.
Very nice. That was Carlos Espinosa reading his poem,
Missing Juarez.
Missing Juarez, from the first edition of Barrio Panther, which is available online at barriopanther.com. Thank you, Carlos.
Thank you guys for having me.